It is not often that I get my sessions advertised for free as part of the keynote, but I thought it was really great yesterday when we talked about what I think is a really important statistic, that 75% of all compromises involved in some way or another credential theft. I looked at that and I thought, number one, kind of cool, free advertising for my session. Number two, yeah, it's still pretty rough out there. And that's what we're here to talk about today, this concept of credential theft, and to make sure that we all understand what is this thing, what can I do about it, what should the products be doing about it, what are the benefits I have of using the latest and greatest, because obviously it's something that we are very attuned to, and to really understand what all of these concepts are. So that's what we're going to cover today. And the reason why this ends up being so important is just, I mean, watch the news. It's a rough place out there. We have transitioned from a world in which adversaries were really trying to make a name for themselves, to show that they could do it. It was really just to be mischievous, just to have a challenge or to make someone look bad, put some egg in their face. And that transition to the point where suddenly we involved organized crime and big money became at stake. And they were going after resources that they could monetize in major ways. And now we're starting to see it evolve to also include a lot of cyber espionage. It's a dangerous place out there. In fact, many have said, we're at war. We're at war against a human adversary who is evolving at the same rate that we are. And the way that we think about security needs to evolve as well. We need to think in terms of the adversaries. And when I think about how do I prioritize security, how do I do security right, we've now completely left the era in which we just need to get the right advice on what security things I should do and go do it. If you are involved in security, and if you are doing technology, you are involved in security, whether you like it or not, you now have no shortage of really great advice. Your job is no longer find the good advice and do that. It has become find the good advice that I can afford to ignore right now while I go and do this other even better advice that's going to give even more rewards. That's quite a change. I no longer have to find good things. I have to find ignorable things from the plethora of great advice that I have. And that's what we hope to convey today, is to really talk about what's out there and most important, and two perspectives that I like to look at this from. Number one, the perspective of the adversary. What are they trying to do to me? And how can I protect against that? I see a lot of security conversations devolve into, let me imagine all of the potential hypothetical threats that could potentially happen, and oh, I can imagine a world in which this threat actually exists. And while certainly a fun mental exercise, it's a lot more valuable to spend your time protecting against the actual adversaries that exist in the real world rather than the imagined ones. Not that you shouldn't do that at all, but if you haven't done a protection against what people are really doing in the wild today, it might be a bit too soon to be thinking of advanced threats. And in fact, when we look at the statistics of what adversaries are using today, every single time something bad happens, the organization to which that happened comes out and says, we were dealing against a new, brand new, never before seen, very, very advanced threat that no one could have possibly seen coming. We are not culpable, right? This was someone who was just incredibly smart, hyper smart, may in fact be from the planet Krypton, doing this incredibly complicated assault against us. The reality is, most infections, most attacks begin with user interaction required. I've sent you an email, you clicked on something, I gained a toehold on your box. Conveniently, you left all of your users as local administrators. You, of course, turned UAC off because, hey, why wouldn't you? And boom, all of a sudden, we're done. This is not an advanced persistent threat. This is the same old that we know very well, that we've never cleaned up. And when we look at, well, which percentage of actual attacks involve leveraging some zero-day exploit, it's not exactly the majority. It's that tiny, tiny little sliver right there of actual exploits that were 0 days and weren't just leveraging the same old, same old. Going after user interaction required. So when you think about how attackers are working, I've tended to, at least today, and of course this is always evolving, we have human adversaries who are evolving right now, but I tend to lump them into two groups. I lump them into the adversary who's trying to capture your entire identity infrastructure. Because once he has your identity infrastructure, he's got incredibly valuable assets. Number one, he can be anybody in your organization, whoever they want to be. Number two, that also typically comes with a roadmap for how to attack you. Here are all of the OUs I have. Once I'm on the domain controller, I can see, well, what kind of businesses are you in? Oh, here's an interestingly named OU. I'm sitting here inside of Apple Corporation. This is totally hypothetical. And oh, here's the OU watch design. Interesting. And now I have a roadmap. Now I can see who's in there. What are the users? And I can start to target them. I have a ton of incredibly useful information. So useful, in fact, that it can potentially combat the fact that this is probably the part of your network that you're monitoring the most closely. It's a very noisy intrusion, but if you succeed, it's an incredibly valuable intrusion, and that's why people do it. The other type of adversary, again, as I categorize them today, is the person who already knows who or what they're going after and is specifically finding a way to target that. An example of this is an organization that had a small team that was focused on a really highly specific project. It was scientific in nature, highly, highly specific, unique, and what the adversary had done was build a Facebook group, of all things, and put on the group page an image that contained a compromise, hoping or betting or maybe even knowing that that organization hadn't kept their patches up to date, and sent out an invite. Attendees of this conference, a highly specific conference that would appeal to people who did this one thing at this one company, from this state in the US. And three of those people joined that group. They target them. They've done their homework. So there's two, and we need to think about how do we protect ourselves from at least these two categories of adversaries. Because the way that we used to think about how we protect ourselves was to build a castle, firewall everything, segregate firewalls, we'll solve it all. And what firewalls don't solve, maybe we'll get some really, really juicy antivirus. That'll clean up the rest of it. And then we'll build some more firewalls. And the way that we used to build a castle doesn't work anymore. We are way too mobile. There are people in this room with devices that are not sitting behind your corporate firewall right now. We're not protecting you. If you've ever gone to a coffee shop, if you own a laptop, you're not behind the corporate firewall. We don't live in a castle that we can protect from the outside world anymore. We live in a city. And in a city, the way I protect myself is quite different. Most other people in that city with me sharing all of these resources, my bandwidth, connectivity, they're good people. Maybe not in this room. But in general, right, most people out there are decent people that aren't trying to hurt you, and there are people who are actively trying to hurt you, just like in a real city. And there are ways that you can protect yourself when you're doing that. You protect yourself by being pretty smart, being aware of your surroundings. You're never going to get rid of all the bad people, right? If you figure that out, there's a really good job for you in government. Right, but we haven't figured that out yet, so we're like, you know what, we have to assume that there's going to be bad people and try to put things in place to try and keep those bad people from doing bad things. Same thing in the security world. And we need to do smart things when we assume the fact there's probably some bad people here. If I'm going to a city that's not very safe, I'm probably not going to wear my solid gold suit. which normally I wear places, but not here. I don't know how to trust you guys here, right? But you just don't bring it with you. That's a high-value asset that I don't bring along with me for the ride, and that's the way I need to start thinking about it. So what I want to do is give you some tools and share with you the way that I and a lot of other folks at Microsoft think about how do we protect ourselves and understand the threats that are out there. The framework that I use to kind of say, have we actually got a complete solution, is to look at what are we doing to protect ourselves. That's what we're used to in the security world, right? Build our defenses, build the castle walls as high as we can. We still need to do smart things to protect ourselves, but we also need to not only try to prevent compromise, but assume that we'll never get perfect. There are too many endpoints, something's going to fall, and if we assume compromise, assume breach, while still trying to prevent it, then we realize we have a third bit that we need to bring in as well. We need to be able to react. The typical reaction we get from a customer who has experienced a breach is not a whole lot of sleep, panic, not much sleep, and more panic, and wow, I don't know what to do now, and kind of freezing up. It's a really tough spot to be in, and most people don't have that plan. My colleague Jessica is actually giving a talk because that's what she does for a living. She gets brought in when someone has a breach, and she's giving a talk on that tomorrow morning at 11:30 as well, to go through the details of what you can do to prepare for that. But preparing for that is really important if you want to respond quickly and shut it down. So today, we're not going to go a whole lot into the response bit, although it's important that you're aware it's part of the strategy. We really want to talk about the things you can do to protect yourselves and a little bit on the detection bit. So when we look at what a typical threat looks like, we'll do it visually, and then I'm actually going to go and hack some stuff because that's kind of how I roll. When we look at what happens, I've got an organization, and someone starts sending out emails to a whole bunch of people. They get a whole bunch of addresses, and they're like, hey, here's some information. Go ahead and click this link. And the adversaries that we're up against are getting smarter and smarter and smarter, and the emails are getting better. They're not great yet, and we actually start circulating some of the things that we see internally and a lot of our internal discussion aliases within Microsoft. We look at some of the things that they're doing, and the number of grammatical errors is declining. It's not zero yet, right? So we can still usually tell if we're taking our time, but it's declining, and they're also getting more and more targeted. For example, I worked with one customer where what the adversary has done is they had gotten a hold of someone's credentials just to listen in on email. So it was one person's endpoint, weak password, they weren't using multi-factor authentication, so once they got the password, then they could read their email. Once they had the ability to read their email, they could see all of those corporate emails that we send around. Here's the email from our corporate chief financial officer giving details of our findings. Ah, now I know the name of the person and their email address who is the CFO at this organization. Here's the emails from IT and all the projects we have going and when it's impacting. Aha, they have a project. You'll be expecting an email at this time. They're able to listen in on standard corporate dialogue, harmless things that gave them the ability to craft that initial phishing mail